Welcome to the King's Road Podcast. I am your host, the Aries Justin Yance, and I'm here with Chris. How are you doing, Chris?
We're just shortening my name as the weeks go on. How WWE of us.
I got a memo from Vince McMahon, and he said that, you know, there's just too many, there's too many words there, so we're just going to start calling you Chris.
Chris. Maybe we next week it'll be Toph.
Yeah, Toph.
How about Toph?
Actually,
there we go.
No, we're going to call you C.
Perfect.
So, let's talk a little bit about the fallout, about what happened with Sasha Banks and Naomi.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a work because they pulled all their merchandise.
Yeah.
They took her off the
intro.
The intro. I don't think there's any way she really can come back, because if she goes back, there's going to be a punishment this time. She's going to be jobbing to Doudrop.
And from what I understand now too, is that they can freeze her contract.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling they were going to do that anyways, because she missed time.
Yeah.
And they've done that. Remember, they did that to Rey Mysterio. They're like, well, we're going to add on time for when you were injured.
Yeah.
Which to me is ridiculous. I hope that she fights this and she's got public opinion and she can use that. I don't know why she's not. She's in Hollywood. She knows Snoop Dogg. She was at the Steve Aoki concert, I think it was.
Okay.
And they caught her, dancing. So she's like living it up. So I don't know. I don't see how they go back on this. I think it's done.
Yeah. What happened?
Naomi, I see her coming back, because the consensus is that she was manipulated by Sasha.
Yes. That's what
She's part of the family, the big family, the Roman Reigns and everything. So I can see her coming back. I don't see Sasha coming back.
Yeah, I can see them not going so hard on Naomi, but I think the time for Sasha in the WWE is done. So,
which I'm glad, because I never felt, we talked about this, she's never felt, I never felt they really appreciated her. She was always one down from Charlotte.
Yeah, not on the main roster. Definitely not on the main roster.
Yeah.
I mean,
on NXT, no. She was great.
Yeah, I mean,
she was the best heel in NXT.
Yeah, and like the whole Sasha Bailey storyline, and that Iron Woman match is probably the best Iron Person match of all time. So,
One of the Iron Man matches,
in my opinion.
I'm gonna fight you on that. What about Rock and Triple H at Judgment Day?
Okay.
To me, that's the best of like the. I mean, I would say like 30 minutes. Yeah, I would probably give you that.
Okay.
I do like the Danielson AJ Styles match that they did at Against All Odds.
Yes.
Back in 2005. Headlined by Kevin Nash in 2005.
Back to Sasha.
That's where they brought out a cello. He had a cello. No, that was another, when he couldn't use the guitar, so Jarrett brought out a cello. Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
So back to Sasha. Thanks. I don't know. I just don't see where she can come back. I don't think she can.
Yeah. I think she's done. Good. Like, let her live her life. Let her go to the Stevie Aoki concert and live her life and do all that stuff. Let her book.
I would like to see her in AEW.
I would like that too. I would also.
She would give Britt Baker somebody that, one, Britt Baker could. If I were them, I would do like kind of the outsider type angle with Sasha, whereas like I'm bigger than you because I'm the WWE superstar type thing, and give the opportunity for Britt to turn face in some ways. If they want to do that, they could, or you could have her come in, I know it's kind of I don't think they should turn her. Yeah. That would be like turning MJF face.
Yeah.
It's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just, I think it's done. I think if she comes back, she's going to face punishment. And they are going to, I mean, we talked about it. They have always seen her one below. I read some review of somebody talking about how, like, back at WrestleMania 32, when they did the three-way, and they had Sasha come out, you know, in the SUV, and she had Snoop Dogg and everybody. And people are like, and the guy in the crowd, he said, I think they should change the match to Sasha winning. And then you saw, you know, it was Charlotte. Charlotte was the handpicked person. Becky got through, and Sasha has just kind of been dwindling because they just, I don't know. We talked about it. She comes from, she's a homeschool kid. So she's in her uncle Snoop Dogg. So, you know, you could see the conversations she's probably, you know, has had when she was a kid and stuff.
Uncle Snoop, that's already done stuff in AEW too. So,
So I don't know. So, all right. So let's move on. We are now going to talk about, since we weren't able to get to it last week, we are going to talk about AEW Dynamite.
Right.
May 18th, 2022.
So what I think is very smart is that they start off with the Joker and.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
With all of the hype and all of the sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Theories.
That is not what we wanted.
It wasn't what we wanted. And like, I saw Johnny Elite hit the screen. And then I was like, Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano. And then everything else clicked in when he was like Johnny Impact and Johnny Mundo and Johnny Nitro and Johnny everything that he was on. And then I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Do I think it's like, let's be real. Like, you don't debut a Johnny Gargano or a Cesaro and feed him to Joe.
No, I agree. But so this seems like a one-off. This doesn't seem like he's really working with the company.
No, I don't. I don't know. Who knows? Like AEW.
I don't think they. They don't need any more ex-WWE guys.
No,
unless
they don't.
They're getting like a Bray Wyatt or somebody of that level. They need only somebody or Johnny Gargano. Somebody really good at all the things.
John Morrison, Hennigan, Nitro, Impact, Elite, the third, has always been a really good worker and really exciting and does some really good work. So like, do I think that they need him there? No. They have Matt Sydal, who is literally for me is like a carbon copy of Johnny Eight Names. One off is fine.
I mean, to me it's the equivalent of Austin Aries coming in. Well, and I'd be like, really? Although he's pissed off everybody, so that's not happening. He's done.
And then who was the Joker at
Maki Ito.
Cool. Like again, you can't do the same thing. You can't debut do we even have theories about the females? Like, let's be real. Who did we think? We thought that
Candice LeRae.
It could have been Candice LeRae. And that's like
Or Athena,
right? And like that's another thing. You can't feed them to Brit, you know? Good. I think
and they've done a good, say what you will about them, but they've done a good job of not feeding their guys to the ex-WWE guys like TNA would do.
Yeah, and
that's all they did was feed guys.
Ito, like I think that she's fun. I don't think that the American audience quite understands who she is or her character, but fun, like great. And then, you know, we got Joe going over and Britt going over. I mean, the second that you saw who they were facing, there was no doubt in anybody's mind that they were moving on. So that's cool. I thought they played that smartly. instead of just, you know, debuting really amazing characters and wrestlers and just feeding them to people on a one-off, you know?
What'd you think of Hangman versus Konosuke?
Oh God. Who is like, okay. First of all,
he's
like
a guy in DDT.
DDT. And I guess he's doing like a year long sort of stint in the States, as you know, Japanese wrestlers.
I like that they do that.
What a fucking star. Sorry, but like, what a fucking star. Like, great match. Cool to see. I mean, maybe you don't have something that competitive this close to Double or Nothing when he's going, like, CM Punk's not having overly competitive matches. You know what I mean? But man, just a good match. Great, like.
Yeah. Well, I like the way he wins. He wins with the GTS. They're playing. They're like, look, you want to use my move? I'll use your move.
Exactly.
And I like that they're playing that up. To me, the Hangman feels like a bigger star right now than he has since he's held the belt.
I mean, especially like we're fast forwarding a little bit, but especially after this week. So that's cool.
It says something about what Punk can do.
Yeah.
That Punk get, because I felt the same way about MJF. I feel the same way about Hangman. It's like he is subtly getting people over. And I don't think people realize the little thing. I think it's because he doesn't, you know, he could just bury Hangman, but he isn't. He structured the storyline in a way that makes it so that neither one is this, you know, all, you know, over the other thing. And I like that. You could tell he wants them both to get to, you know, get over.
Right. I'm going to go back to Takeshita. I loved all the callbacks to like El Generico and, you know, the tributes that he did to El Generico and them calling it, like, of course, Excalibur calling it out and shit like that, which is fun. I love it.
Man in the mask.
Yep, exactly. I love it.
I'm hoping, you know, I love that they do that in Japan. They send their guys all around the world to get the season. Because, I mean, that's really how
Naito.
Yeah, he got his moniker from being in Mexico.
Yep.
And he came back with the Los Cobanames.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that they do that. And I mean, they did it with the Bushi
WWE was smart, they would steal that, but they think that their way is the only way, so that'll never happen. But yeah, they did do that with the Bush. I mean, it's, I think it helps. They did it with Jay White too.
They went
to ROH, and then when they brought him back, he was like, he's a big star. They're like, now we're gonna like push you. Their system of the Young Lions to then we're gonna have you go travel to coming back seems to work.
Yeah.
I mean, name, you know, other than, I mean, I don't think Evil is so bad per se. I just think like the interference hurts his matches.
Yeah. I can't get into Evil, but.
Yeah. Unless... All right. Last thing we'll say about this, this show is, let's talk about Wardlow and MJF, the 10 lashes. This was different.
Yeah. I guess I don't know what I was expecting, especially because the last one was so, like, I don't want to call it dramatic or like melodramatic.
Well, we remember the Cody one.
He
was selling like he was, you know?
Yeah.
I thought the way he did it, you know, he hit him. He didn't really start selling till like 8.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was a different way to do it. And then, you know, then they did the beatdown kind of angle.
Right.
And then some people say that they shouldn't have done the visual 1, 2, 3 with him down. Like he should have kicked out. But I was kind of fine with that.
I mean, they made up for it this week, which we'll get to. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. We all know what the end game is with this whole, like, this is all the shit that Wardlow needs to go through in order to get to MJF. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that where the end game is. Like, we know that they're going to get a match. So we know that he's going to go through all this. We know, like, everything. Yeah. The whole, like, trials and tribulations of MJF to get a match with him, I think, is now played out. Like, come on. Like, we know, like, nobody's going to stall midway through the trials of MJF, you know what I mean?
But it kind of makes sense because, yeah, he was like his employee. So like, yeah, in order to get away from that, you know, I don't want them to do this again unless they have something better than the 10 lashes and cage match thing. Because it's almost like a repeat 100% of Cody, you know, except a different take on it, you know.
Except for no moonsault off the top of the cage this time. So
we'll get to that. Okay, so there we got. I thought Serena Deeb did a pretty good promo because she was talking about real things.
Yeah,
that she had to go through. It wasn't until she got the boob job, and you know, and even when she did everything they did, they still pretty much threw her out. You know, they got rid of her. You know, she never was like. I mean, unfortunately, it was a time when they just didn't see women's wrestling.
Right.
Is the way it was. I mean, say what you will about Rousey, but you know, she did open that door because her drawing, I mean, they should have done it a long time ago, but they, as usual, WWE 20 years late to the party, you know. In 95, they could have done Austin. Yeah. 96, they could have done Austin. They could have done Austin with Nash when he was Diesel.
Shit.
You know. There's so many things they've been behind the eight ball with. Yeah. And it's like they have to have society go, oh, now we'll do it. They have to always be dragged kicking and streaming through everything. Anyways, but so I thought this was, you know, she's still not a great promo, unfortunately. No. I feel bad for her. It comes off like in acting class, you know, she's kind of like that person, like, I'm really mad right now and I'm just gonna look right at you in the eyes. Like, you don't do that when you're really angry. You might look at the floor, you might look at the, turn your head, don't, you know, do that. But it's just kind of like,
yeah,
I'm gonna tell you how angry I am right now. Okay, if you have to tell me how angry you are, then you're probably not that angry. So then that brings us to the main event, Jeff Hardy and Adam Cole. It's not bad. I mean, Jeff Hardy's trying. I mean, he's broken. He is so beat. He is like Sabu at this time to age in his career. Oof.
They also, they ran out of time, I think.
Yeah, that was another thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
6 minutes.
I'm just, you know, I guess looking at it, like, did Jeff Hardy go over in the ladder match before, or not the ladder match, the no DQ match or whatever they're calling it, so that we weren't given Cole versus Darby this early?
Could be that, and I think they want to do the passing of the torch with Jeff to Darby type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing
but he seems, like you said, I mean, he's really broken down.
Yeah.
You could tell he's trying, but it just isn't much left there.
Which makes me very nervous for this weekend.
Yeah. So Adam Cole wins and they do the angle, they take out Sting. which was kind of interesting. They did the you know, the old Pillman eyes and mm-hmm. his leg.
From what I understand too, I guess Sting needed just some time off or something.
Yeah,
who knows? But
well, he's earned it. He works so hard here. Way Sting has been used, the way he should have been used in TNA, or well, toward the end of the TNA,
or even in WWE. Which let's not even get with that.
That was horrible.
Great
start, and then they had no idea what to do with it. Last thing we'll talk about on this episode is we got the William Regal and Chris Jericho. We're kind of going a little out of order because it's William Regal and Chris Jericho. I love the Jericho Appreciation Society, but it feels so much like Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. We're going to all sit in the ring and talk.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the fact that though the baby faces are in the ring, they're like, get in the ring. You know, we're done talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you wouldn't see in WWE. So I like that. And then he'll bring up the stuff that Danielson said about Eddie Kingston, where he said, I think you're lazy and you're kind of an, you know, you're drunk or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you said he was a judgmental prick.
Prick.
And he was like, you are.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. I mean, you have greats. In all the reality, you have like some of the greatest character talkers right there in the ring with, and even actors, like let's call it that. You know, you got Jericho, Danielson, Eddie Kingston, you got William Regal, Moxley. Like you got them. Like come on,
my problem with this is. I wanted to see Moxley and Danielson going for the tag titles. I did not want to see them in the Jericho stuff. It makes me wonder if Danielson needs a little time to recover. If that is, then good. Because he had a hard hit. But that match that they had last time with Moxley, where they like headbutted each other and did everything, it's like, if that means if he's going to give us that kind of match and he needs some rest, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I agree. 100% agree. But I mean, when you have all those professionals work, like professionals, you know, you want to talk about like pro wrestling, that's fine. But when you have all those like professional characters.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't, Lord knows if it was even scripted at that point in time. Like that, those are the type of guys that you can get out there and be like, this is where we're going, go do it.
Yeah. Well, he had to have bullet points of knowing,
right.
You know, I'm gonna attack you guys and say these real things and bring them up. You know, I don't like the idea. I'm glad they kind of got away from that. But, you know, the idea of like, these guys can't. It's like that old six-man tag that they did where The Rock won the title by beating Vince McMahon, where they were like, these guys are going to fight each other type thing. And I was like, no, don't do that. Nobody buys that shit. That's so shit. I hate that crap. Like nobody buys that. I mean, even if he did say that about Kingston, I liked when he just kind of said, well, so what? Who cares? But then they go into this like little brawl thing. And I'm like,
what? Right.
Why are you going back on it? Yeah.
What is this match called that they're doing now? It's not a Stadium Stampede.
I'm glad they're not doing the Stadium Stampede crap again. I don't want to see that again. The last one was not as good as the first one. The first one was interesting, and then the last one was like, we're just trying to redo it.
Was the first one when we had the one winged angel off the bleachers, or was that the second
that one?
Okay. Yeah,
The second one was Jericho versus MJF, and at that time they had already done the Blood and Guts match, so it was like, why are we? So we're gonna go from Blood and Guts, which was I thought a better match, to this stadium crap thing. I don't know. I never liked that feud. I thought it had its places in there, but it was just felt too much like Raw and SmackDown, and that's my problem with it. And that's why I like that Jericho is leaning in toward that. Like I'm calling myself a sports entertainer. It's like that's what you feel like.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Cody. I'm like, that's why I'm like, it's not a loss for AEW to get for Cody to leave, because it's like, he doesn't fit
right
the style that AEW is trying to do. He wants to do the WWE style match of slow down, you know, rest here in the mm-hmm. point. He doesn't want to have that high paced style. AEW wants to be more like they want to take the New Japan stuff and bring that to that. And that's more exciting. You know,
I agree.
And Lucha. All right. So that's it for that. Let's talk a little bit about, all right, we'll just say this about SmackDown. So they did the unification match. Surprise, surprise to absolutely no one. The Usos won, and it was Roman, you know, doing the spear.
And like, here's the deal. It's still a great match. Like, we can joke around. Like, we can joke around and we can say whatever, but like, it was good. Like, the match was good.
The work is good. It's just, it's predictable. They do this every time. So I don't, it's hard for me to care. Plus it doesn't, I don't trust them with unification stuff, as they just. Are we looking at Roman like holding the title for like 800 days now?
I don't know.
Is he beating Brutus and Martino?
Like, so we know who his next three are going to be. And is it in order? Does it go Riddle, Randy, Drew? Is that how
I guess
happens?
I think that's the
So we know how it's going to end. That's
so
fine.
are they going to do a title change for Drew in Cardiff?
In the clash at the castle? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, are they going to give away their championship that they've held on for 800 days to a show that's going to be air here in the afternoon?
Yeah.
1 o'clock?
Probably.
I mean, that ain't going to.
Did anything else really happen on SmackDown? I don't even remember.
That's why we're gonna say that.
And that's like literally that's WWE TV for me right now. Is that like
I don't remember.
And that's like I'm thinking about Raw and I'm like, what? I don't remember. I don't remember. Yeah. NXT, the only thing I remember from NXT is that their poor golden girl, Nikita Lyons, is out with an ACL injury or MCL or a knee injury of some part.
Apparently, probably
from doing the splits on her.
Roman was scheduled to show up on Raw and he didn't appear.
Really?
So their whole crap about Sasha Banks and Naomi and how we deliver what we advertise. Well, what about that?
Yeah.
Where's your excuse for that?
What do we have?
That's what it is. Alvarez talked about it on Wrestling Observer, and I thought that was an interesting point he made. Anyways, let's move to Raw. So Raw was, I don't know. I don't really remember anything there either.
That's what I'm going through it right now. I'm like, okay, there's the six man. That's cool.
Here's the good thing that happened. Riddle came out and he cut a promo that actually had like he wasn't just cool. He showed that he could do a promo. This is where RVD could never go.
Right.
He showed that he was generally kind of pissed. And like, I'm out for revenge type of story for what you did to Randy. And I was like, that's good. I mean, the problem is I see the fans really getting behind Riddle and WWE not pushing them all the way. They're going to push Orton over him. And it's like, it should be the other way around. Orton should be first and then you should do Riddle.
I agree.
Ms. Riddle's the new guy and he's got an organic feel to him. Yeah. And when he did that promo, it was like, he could be a guy if you wanted to beat Roman. I've been saying that for a year and a half now.
I mean, there was like, They really, I mean, they can really strap a big rocket to him if they play their cards right, which they won't because we're talking about WWE here. But do you remember how he had that? It was a shirt that he had maybe when he was in the Independence or when it was when.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was something that Evolve. He posted. And it was like, it was his shirt that said, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then retired Lesnar or something like that.
No, I mean, to me, I never liked the way they present him in NXT. He should have been a world champion, like, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Instead, he was, like, a tag guy. And it's like, they to me, that shows they never got him.
Yeah.
Even in NXT.
Well, hopefully they're going to let him shine a little bit now. Mm-hmm. But who knows? They're just going to feed him to Roman. We
it
know
feels
that.
Like
but at
he's
least...
just going to be the... I said this last week, but how pissed would you be if you're Chicago going to Hell in a Cell and seeing a B pay-per-view when they've got Forbidden Door All Out? It's almost like WWE's mad at them for making AEW like, well, you know, we don't see Chicago as important anymore because that's AEW's place. You know, it's like, I hate to tell them, it's like, they're going to do the same thing in New York too.
Yeah.
They're going to take New York and they're going to take Chicago because they're putting on quality wrestling and you're not.
Yep. And then
and that's,
I mean,
that's the problem.
Detroit's in a couple of weeks too. And they're going to take Detroit as well. Like,
I
not
mean,
only, not only that, I've got a couple of friends from back home in Detroit that are, I don't want to say they're like bigger independent names, but they're guys that have a little bit of a following and, have a couple of like independent championships that have been on AEW Dark and that have worked with them before. And he's like, I'm already booked. He's like, I'm already booked for a taping with AEW when they come to Detroit. He's like, I've got four matches that we're taping while they're in town. And I was like, yeah, cool. And
yeah, that's what you should do.
Like the Detroit market's going to fucking eat AEW up.
Yeah.
So
absolutely, because they're giving them the quality. I mean, who's excited? I can't get excited to see. So then we had the only other thing that happened on was Cody and The Miz, and oh, surprise, surprise, DQ. He can't beat The Miz again.
Yeah,
like this is all they know how to do. His heel gets DQ'd. Edge is going through. He looks like he's just confusing everybody by saying this guy could join the Judgment Day.
Yep.
This guy could join the Judgment Day. This guy could join the. It's like, I don't know. It's just none of it excites me. And then they're going back to Crown Jewel, or as a lot of people in the fandom like to call it, Blood Money.
That works too. And I mean, like, okay, we're also on Raw, and we're giving away Asuka versus Becky Lynch again.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And like, then they negate it, so it's a triple threat. So they can't even trust Asuka to face Bianca Belair one on one. It's like, well, I guess they were gonna. Well, they wanted to do Naomi and Bianca, and they were gonna do Asuka and. It all just sounds like it's so throwaway. They don't build anybody, so no one cares. Alexa Bliss seems like she's still waiting to like for her contract to expire and get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Same thing with Finn. He could say whatever he wants about it, but I'm like, you do not want to be there.
Don't.
You are not pushed even like you're not even pushed like Owens. And I don't like what they're doing with Owens. Owens went from working with Steve Austin to Ezekiel.
This is something that I read too. For the fourth straight week, women main evented Raw, and Asuka was in all four of those matches. So that's like kind of a cool.
That's good, but it doesn't feel important.
Nope, not at all.
There's a difference. There's a difference between main eventing and it actually feeling important, and main eventing and just because we got all. It's like they're throwing them a bone.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that. The good news is we saw on this. Looks like they're not going to turn Lacey heel. Maybe that's a saving grace. Maybe this is one of the good things with Sasha walking out and Naomi is they're like, well, we don't have a heel. We she has to stay baby face there, which I'm like, thank God. It's like, she can't cut those promos and then become a heel.
Right. Or maybe somebody actually in the office finally was like, hey,
this is a bad idea.
This is a really, really bad idea. Really bad idea.
Oh man. And then we had Veer, our favorite guy, in the King's Court. Come on, he's my dream guest on the Broken Skull Ranch.
I can't.
It's so bad. Alexa.
Alexa just got married. Here's the deal. Like, Alexa and Ryan Cabrera are married. Like,
she wants
Ryan,
out.
Like,
she
Ryan,
wants out.
Like, Ryan
she
Cabrera,
wants out of there so bad.
Like, she doesn't need the money anymore because Ryan Cabrera has all that money from, like, the couple of hits that he had in the mid-90s and, like, music producing. And, like, she wants babies, probably.
I'll be honest with you. I only remember him from the Ashley Simpson show on MTV.
I remember that. I just remember his hair. His hair was
he
like,
had the giant hair. When I saw that she was dating him, I was like, wow, this is like
weird.
Alexa, shut up.
Because we said Alexa.
Yeah, we can't say the damn name. As it's like, we just have to call her the A word. But anyways, yeah, she wants out. I don't feel like she is happy there at all. But she's not gonna do the Sasha thing. She's just gonna, you know, do.
I also don't feel like wrestling's really her thing anymore. Like, no, I don't know.
She was a character. She was always a character. And then we have Bobby Lashley versus Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP, with Omos. Omos. I keep calling him Omos.
Omos. Almost. You can call him Almost.
Because that's what he feels like. I hate this feud and I don't care at all. Yep. And it's the it's pretty much everything I don't like about WWE is that crap. At least they're not going to be in the Hell in a Cell. They didn't give them that. It's just going to be a handicap match, but it's like, what's the point of doing a Hell in a Cell if you're not going to do blood? Why even do it?
Yeah.
It's just a cage match.
A red cage.
Red cage. Yeah, but it's just like the whole point. Yeah, the whole selling point of that, why it worked, even back in the genesis of that, is because this was the end of the feud.
Yep.
It was bloody and it was going to be a brawl. Mm-hmm. Once they got away from that back in 2008, the last one that was like really good that I liked was The Undertaker and Edge. And that was when we first found out that, they're not going to do blood. And I didn't mind the Lesnar Undertaker one, although it felt kind of spotty to me.
I'll tell you, I was there live for the Owens and Shane Hell in a Cell. And there's, if you want to talk about spotty, that was spotty. But let me tell you, like, there is nothing like sitting in that arena watching a Hell in a Cell and two people on top of it. One of them being Owens, who's a big guy, and getting back body dropped on the top of that cage. And like, you're literally just sitting there like, this is going to happen.
I wish AEW would come up with their own like version of the Hell in a Cell. Just like, because I love that. I love that look, that giant cage. It just looks so cool. It's just WWE does nothing with it. So I can't get excited anymore.
And I'm telling you, it's a really impressive thing to see live. And like, this was the shit. I was at Little Caesars Arena. I was up, and I don't want to say I was in the nosebleeds, but I wasn't like down low.
But it's
where
huge.
It's a huge
cage.
Freaking huge. And then like,
they raised it up. They made it even bigger. Remember that was the Shane and Vince and show against DX thing. Where they made it big again.
And I'm telling you, seeing somebody jump off that thing is in person is crazy, is nuts.
The person we never got to see like that would have been great in that match when he was young was like Jeff Hardy.
Right.
But didn't
he did do the he did do a Hell in a Cell, but not when he was young, right?
Because yeah, they did it, and it was a throwaway. Yeah, it was like a Randy Orton Hell in a Cell, and it went.
That's right. That was the big thing when they were sticking shit through his ear.
Like how cool would it have been if they had like Kane and Jeff feud and like Kane show slams him off the cell. That's like what you do in the video game. I mean, you'd have to be very careful, but Kane's like the only one I would trust with something, is he's so strong and you know,
he
they could do something with it. But yeah, even then that might be, I mean, he would have to like choke slam him and then like slow down the momentum and then like drop him.
Just let him
like,
go.
When he's, like drop him like right, like you can't drop him from up high because he'd be dead.
Yep.
But like you have him, you hold him all the way down. And then like right when he gets like past the cage, then you drop him. And he's strong enough to do something like that, like, and not make it look like shit. So Ross sucks.
Hell in a Cell feels just like throw it. Yeah.
Ross sucks. So let's move on. I think that'll do it for this episode. And we're going to talk about, we will talk about AEW Dynamite. And we're going to talk about we're going to run down the pay-per-view and we'll talk about the thing. So the truth shall set you free. Thank you.